Tim did not grow up in a happy home. Facing homelessness at the age of 17, he ended up living in a tent in a friend's backyard and eating his one meal a day at school. Life was really tough for this high school kid until one day a schoolmate made an offer that changed Tim's life forever. Today, we're going to hear this fascinating story right here on Revival for a Mission. Imagine that you are at home and your son or daughter calls you and says, I have a friend who's homeless. Can I bring him home? Well, that's exactly what happened to Tim's friend. Tim was the homeless guy. And today, Tim is a pastor. What happened in this journey? That's what we're going to find out today. Pastor Wilson, we have many Seventh-day Adventists who believe that they need to help others and make a difference in other people's lives. But it's one thing to talk about it. It's another when you need to put yourself at risk or sacrifice resources to help others. Then it becomes a lot more difficult.
Pastor Sam, you're absolutely right. And the Lord sometimes puts you in a situation where He forces you to actually make that decision to truly reach out and touch somebody's life in a remarkable way that will have an everlasting effect. And that's exactly what happened with Pastor Tim. His life changed dramatically when he found real meaning in a family that knew what life was all about, and they knew God. And the Lord is calling for all of us to be part of touching the lives of people in a meaningful way so that truly they will find happiness and security in the Lord, because it's only by God's grace that any of us can truly live a life that is helpful and outreaching to others. And the Lord will help us to do that in a powerful way.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. And we have a special guest today who has a great story. He's dedicated his life to the mission that Jesus Christ has given us and to share Jesus with others. Pastor Tim, welcome to Revival for Mission.
Thank you. So glad to be here and to join you both.
Pastor Tim, tell us about your upbringing.
So growing up, my parents struggled financially. They struggled with their jobs. They had no real career. And as a result of that, the stress between their relationships were really poor. They would separate a number of times. So we did a lot of moving from place to place, town to town, in and out of schools. There were a number of times that they couldn't afford the rent, so we'd end up moving with some friends or sometimes with some family. It was a very, very kind of chaotic, unstable upbringing. It reached a climax when I was 17, and my parents finally divorced, and my mother moved far away. My stepfather stayed close, and I had to choose whether I was going to be with my mom or my stepdad, because I didn't want to leave my friends. I didn't want to move again. I was kind of in my mind all done moving. I chose to stay with my stepfather, who I didn't get along with very well. And unfortunately, our relationship was horrible. And we got in this huge fight. And the fight ended with his words, "If you don't like it, you can leave." And I left. Mm. I walked out. I'm like, I'm out of here. And
where did you go?
Well, I thought I had a number of friends. I thought I could stay with my friends. So I just started asking my friends if I could stay with them, if I can, you know, live with them. And they're all like, no, 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 no. And finally, this one kid, Andy, is like, Tim, I'd love to let you stay with me. My parents won't let me. But my mom will let you stay in my backyard. Mm. So I set up my tent and lived in Andy's backyard. And I would go to school each day. I would shower after gym class. I would eat my lunch because we... poor. I was part of a free hot lunch program, so I had one meal a day, showered at school. I was homeless, living in Andy's backyard. I wasn't allowed in the house, so I slept in my tent, in my sleeping bag, went to school, was involved in extracurricular activities. At the end of the day, I was back in the backyard, sleeping there, hoping that there would be some way that I could kind of get out of this mess.
Bobby, before we get moving on to something really spectacular that seemed to happen in your life, just tell us a little more. I mean, being homeless, okay, at least you were in a backyard, but you were on your own. How did you really survive on a daily basis? I mean, it's great you were able to take a shower at the school and all that kind of thing, but I mean, you only had one meal a day or whatever you could scrounge around. I mean, tell us a little more about that. Yeah. That's a really tough situation.
It was. And I was hoping I was going to be able to get a job and maybe get in my own apartment or something like that. But in the meantime, it was a survival mode. Growing up, we kind of learned to live with little. So that kind of went into that survival mode. I was very grateful that I was part of this hot lunch program so that every day I get a hot meal at school. And I remember going and, you know, going down the line and the lunch lady giving me food. And she gave me extra. I never asked for extra, but she gave me extra. I don't know if she knew my situation or if she could tell that I was getting thinner or what it was.
But the Lord impressed her.
Yeah, something. I didn't know what it was, but I remember she would give me extra. Of course, I would thank her so much for that. So I don't know if she... you know, just a smart lady. She probably knew who needed a little more. But that was my one meal a day. You know, if friends had a little extra something they might give me, fine. And you know, I would shower at school. I was in the gym class, so I would clean myself every day. I would sneak back into my stepdad's apartment complex and do laundry there to try to keep my clothes clean. But it was very survivalist, minimalist lifestyle. It was not a lot of extras, you know.
Now, somewhere along the way, though, you came in contact with a Seventh-day Adventist family.
Yeah.
And that made a huge difference, obviously.
Completely changed my life.
Well, tell us about that. What happened?
Yeah. So I'd gone to all my friends in school and asked them, can I stay with you? Can I at least stay for a couple of weeks until spring break? You know, or as the time was going down, you know, a month, 3 weeks, you know, a couple of weeks, et cetera, until spring break, because I was going to go stay with my mom. Maybe she and I can reconcile and work things out so I can stay with her. And so I went to all my friends and all my close friends. I was in choir class. There was this other kid, also in high school, named Preston. And he came up to me one day. He's like, Tim, did I hear it right that you're homeless? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm actually living in Andy's backyard in my tent. And he's like, well, do you need a place to stay? I said, yeah, I would love at least for 2 weeks until spring break so I can go see my mom. And that would be great. And he's like, well, let me call my parents. So we went down actually to the office. We got on the phone. He's talking to his mom on the phone. He's like, Mom, I've got this friend. His name is Tim. He's, you know, living in somebody's backyard in his tent. He needs a place to stay. Can we help him? And I'm standing there as he's having this conversation in the counseling center in the school office. And I can hear her say, well, let's talk to your dad when he gets home. Is he safe? Is he going to be okay tonight? You know, yeah, he'll be okay. You know, he's staying in a tent, but... You know, we'll talk about it tonight when your dad gets home from work. And so that night they talked about it, and they invited me to come and stay with them for a couple of weeks until spring break came. I went to go spend that spring break with my mom. It was not going to work out for me to be able to stay with her. She could hardly take care of herself at the time, let alone me. She was trying to get her life stabilized. So I came back and went right back to my tent, moved right into my tent. This friend, a few days later, came to me and was like, you still need help? I'm like, yeah. So they ended up inviting me into their home through a series of events. They just, like, unofficially, not official documents, adopted me as part of their family. So this friend Preston became known as, like, my brother. His sister Karina became my sister. You know, Dad Joe became Dad. You know, Mom Adele became Mom. It was Mom, Dad, and my brother and my sister. And they are a Seventh-day Adventist family. And they had the children in public school because they couldn't afford paying for the Adventist education. So they temporarily pulled their kids out of school. And this friend Preston had been grown up his entire life saying, you know, if somebody's in a need and you have the ability to meet that need, we should do that. And so when he saw there was a need, their family reached out, and I ended up moving in, started going to church with them, gave my life to Christ, and completely changed the course of my life.
Absolutely. It's amazing. What an amazing story.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder, in that counseling center, as your friend was calling his parents, because, you know, as a Seventh-day Adventist family, you dream of your children being able to help others that are in need. And you build up your entire life teaching them and helping them to see that you need to help others, you need to help others. And suddenly you get a call, Mom, you know how you've been saying you need to help others? I found a guy we can help. And the pressures of welcoming essentially a stranger to your home, because there are always risks associated with this. But they did it. And because they demonstrated that love, they showed that it wasn't just an abstract philosophy, that it was very real. You began to observe in their lives that they were following the example of Jesus as much as possible. And that changed your life. Because, you know, it's when you hit rock bottom as a 17-year-old having to live in a tent in someone's backyard, I mean, it could get worse than this, I suppose, but it's pretty bad. But now you are a Seventh-day Adventist minister. You have people that you are responsible for. And tell us about that shift, and what is it that changed, fundamentally changed, for you to take this path?
I came to find out kind of how that conversation went that night, probably 2 years later. I kind of got the behind the scenes as to what all happened. You know, at the dinner table that night when Dad came home and they sat down and they talked about it, Dad was a little resistant. I mean, he knew, just as you said, they'd been preaching, love others, and now here's a chance to love somebody, and now it's becoming a bit real. They ended up calling some other friends in the church and prayed together. They ended up calling the pastor. The pastor came over, met with them, counseled with them. And the pastor ended up having the conversation and said, is it about money? Is it about your, you know, feeling unsafe that here's this teenage boy with this middle school daughter in your home? Or is it that you're just not sure how this thing's going to turn out? And he's like, I just don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't feel like I'll be in control of this. And he's like, well, then that's where you need to trust God with this. And so they took this step of faith and invited me in their home in this temporary basis. And, you know, it's a 2-week commitment, you know, kind of a thing. And then after that, they realized that we do want to be able to reach him beyond that. And they're not a perfect family, right? Well, none of us have perfect families. There was mistakes. There was, you know, issues of family that you deal with, you know, sibling rivalries and dealing with rebellion of us teenagers and trying to live our lives the way we want to. I mean, it's life. But I saw unconditional love. I saw something in that family that I had not seen in my own family. And I had seen, we'd gone to church when I was young, but we'd stopped going to church by the time I'd gotten to middle school. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because we were moving around and we just stopped going to church. But I saw here was a family that went to church, had daily worship. They prayed together as a family. They loved each other despite their difficulties. They accepted each other despite their differences. And they were willing to show me this crazy, worldly teenage boy, God's unconditional love. And that, I said, I want this. I want what they have. They have something, I don't have it in my life, and I want it. And when I found out, you know, that it was Christ, that it was God, a relationship with him, I started Bible studies. And by that next year, I was baptized and completely changed, you know, my life. By the time I graduated high school, I knew I wanted to be a pastor.
And how was that decision to become a pastor? Because that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it was a complex decision. It wasn't a simple thing to have happen. I remember we joke about it, but I would think in my mind, there's no way I could be a pastor. I mean, I'm still viewing my life as this worldly teenage boy. You know, pastors are perfect, you know, people who have their lives together and don't have problems. You know, I have that picture in my mind. And there were others in the church, other leaders, youth leaders, elders in the church, pastor, who would come and affirm in me and say, Tim, have you thought about, you know, becoming a pastor? No, not me, you know. And they affirmed me. Eventually, I remember there was an elders meeting that I was invited to. And I sat down in the meeting, the elders in a big circle, and they were all there to say, we want you to know that we feel you are called to the ministry.
Wow. That's incredible.
And that really, I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can do this. And haven't looked back. I mean,
just, so all that process, I'm kind of curious, that process was like from 17 years old or so, yeah, up to about what, 20, 21?
18 by the time I accepted the, you know, sure, before I graduated, I decided that I was going to be a pastor. And then freshman year, graduated from high school, freshman year in college, went to Weimar College, and just didn't look back.
Now, did you kind of work your way through school and all that kind of
thing? I did, yeah. I got a summer job working at the high school, getting $17 an hour, twice minimum wage, which was pretty good at the time.
Sure.
Saved every penny up throughout the summer. A few other families in the church who wanted to help. And so I got some financial assistance from them. So I was able to, for the most part, work my way through college with a little bit of help from others who saw something in me.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, you're doing pastoral work. The Lord led you. Those elders were right. God called you into this wonderful opportunity of service. How have you seen over the years the leading of God in your own ministry to help others who perhaps are facing very similar or something like the situation you're in, or a confusing situation? You're feeling totally at loss. Maybe you're not homeless, but you're just at bay. You're just not even knowing the direction to take. And how has that helped you to relate to people like that?
Yeah, I see everybody as people that God loves.
Sure.
Every person that I see, regardless of their situation, whether they have a great influence, authority, and finances, or whether they have, like I had, nothing, they're a child of God that deserves his love like anybody else. Anybody who has been a member of my churches, you know, at any time, know that I think we should be involved in our communities, that we should love the least of these. It was a church that loved this homeless teenage boy that changed my life. Mm. And so I've always said we as a church need to be involved in our community, whether we are helping fight homelessness, whether we are, you know, doing what we can to support those people who are engaged in combating human trafficking, whether, you know, our church is actively involved in distributing food throughout COVID to people to help them throughout their difficulties. We're helping provide counseling for people who are struggling with finding their new life path. Whatever we can do, if there is a need, we have the ability to meet that need, then we believe we're called of God to meet that need, to love people, even if it's challenging, even if it requires a sacrifice. It drives my ministry of showing God's love in a practical way. And whether they want to accept it or, you know, accept him or not, we're going to love them. Mm. And then through those opportunities, of course, we see by ministering to people the way Christ did that we can reach people through that same way. So, it drives a lot of what I do.
Amen.
Pastor Tim, it's excellent that you're here with us. We're going to come back in just a few moments. If you're watching this from home and you're wondering, my goodness, Pastor Tim went from being homeless without having a home to life restoring him because a family made a difference in his life. So the first thing I'd like to urge you is think around. Do you have somebody that is in need now that your family can help and be a part of? We're going to come back to Pastor Tim in a moment, see what happened with his family, if he's still in touch. As for you, you don't go away because we'll be back just after the break. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Pastor Tim, you've told us that you were homeless at one point, but a family welcomed you in and they showed you what Jesus was like through their example. Now, do you keep in touch with them after all these years?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe and Adele, I called them mom and dad. I still call them mom and dad. We do keep in regular touch. In fact, just before COVID hit, we were actually on a spring break vacation as a family in Florida. We made sure we got together with mom and dad and Preston and my wife and my son. The six of us got together there at mom and dad's home to kind of hang out and connect. We keep in touch via texting and phone calls and stuff. Whenever we go down to Florida, I always try to call them up, say, can we at least go to dinner or lunch? Can I swing by, you know, if I'm there for a purpose that I don't have a lot of free time, I try to make an effort to stay in touch. So yeah, they're very much still staying in touch. The daughter, we weren't as close to begin with. So Karina, we don't stay as close in contact. She lives in Washington State. I don't get to go back and visit there very much, but
Now, Pastor Tim, you've been through a lot in your earlier years. You've been able to contact people, relate to people, help people. I'm sure there are a lot of church members who would like to help people who are in real need, but maybe they feel hesitant. Maybe they don't understand how they can help. Maybe they're afraid. But I mean, you know, here in Matthew 25, the Lord is talking to people who helped him through helping others. And even it says in Matthew 25, verse 35, it says, I was a stranger and you took me in. Mm-hmm. How would you advise church members or viewers today if they have some interest in trying to truly be as Jesus would have us be? What would you advise them?
Well, I think first, if they don't have that, they need to pray that they can have the eyes of Jesus. Because there is a lot of need in our communities, in their neighborhood, and even amongst their own neighbors. So just begin praying that they will have the eyes of Jesus to see things as Jesus sees them. And when he starts to reveal things, he will start to reveal what's going on in their communities, the needs that are in their communities, the needs of people within the church, needs of their own neighbors. As they get to know their neighbors, they'll start to see that there is a need, that there are And it doesn't have to be a homeless kid who has a need. It could be an elderly neighbor who just needs help with the raking of his leaves or the cleaning of his gutters or something like that. It could be all kinds of things that are around that we have the ability to show God's love in a practical way too. They can obviously start exploring the greater needs in the community. I mean, homelessness is real. Human trafficking is real. There are kids in your local elementary and high schools who don't get enough food to eat, that are low income. For those of us who live in kind of the northern part of the United States, the winters get cold. And there's a lot of children in those schools who don't have winter clothing that would love to have a nice used coat. I mean, there's so many needs that if you really want to begin exploring those needs in your community, and people would love for someone to help them through that, and great organizations you can partner with either individually or as a church that could help with that. So
your advice to people is to really pray about it, open your eyes,
yep.
And can the church offer services like this to people who are in real need?
Absolutely so. In fact, I was on the phone call with somebody just the other day who in D.C. who works for an organization that fights human trafficking. And we were on a Zoom call together. And when I reached out to their organization and this director of this organization to say, we as a church want to help you, she was just amazed and shocked and overjoyed that there's a group of people that want to help fight modern day slavery in our community. She was just overwhelmed by that. So certainly there's stuff we can do as a church to help people. We don't have to do it all. We don't have to start from scratch. There are wonderful organizations that are doing things to help people, and we can come alongside and help them. I mean, she was quite overwhelmed with joy to know that you actually do care about these people. Yes, we do care about these people, and we're willing to help.
Pastor Tim, thank you so much for sharing your life story and what you're doing now as a pastor. And you know, you as a viewer, you may be wondering, how can I help? Well, Pastor Tim has shared some ways. And maybe you as a viewer also have felt deprived, cut off from your family. God wants you to be part of that family. He's drawing you in right now. In fact, Psalm 27 and verse 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. That's what he did for Pastor Tim. He'll do that for you. If you feel alone right now, if you feel somewhat disconnected from life around you, if you feel disconnected from God himself, the Lord is wanting to touch your heart. And he'll do it through other people, but he wants to do it in a very special way to draw you in, because his greatest aim is to have you with him for eternity. We'll see you again on Revival for Mission.